What?
They gonna blame you.
Oh, I know. Ted's in that chorus right there.
Thank you.
come forward, we'll get our Sunday morning offering. And while they're coming, be paying to us. Be turning to page 393. We'll sing the first and last verse of that. Okay, Brother Glenn Aiden, how about you leave the offering prayer?
Lord, I'm very thankful. Lord, we just thank you this day. Thank you, Lord, for us. Send our souls. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come back and get your house. Just pray, Lord, that you have your will and way to serve the Lord with all these in our heart. And we just pray that you bless this offer. Pray that you will be used to what you give for to be used for. We just pray that you will be each one to give and those who have not given. Pray that you will just continue to bless and take care of each and every one. All the things God and I hold you in.
I'm first and last verse.
You know, it's always, you know, I understand Christine's got a class, she's I know, but it's always difficult when you've got family there.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like you're missing something, you know, especially your wife, you know, who gives. You know, I love her to death, and I like having her here, and I want her to be here at church, but if, you know, if they ain't there, it ain't near as bad as my wife ain't there. You know, and so, you know, I know it's just gonna be a little more difficult than it otherwise would for me, but I love God's agenda. And it's by God's will, God's doing it anyways. Just pray for me this morning. Remember Brother Robert this morning as you pray. I know he'd love to be here with us this morning. And he's been a lot of pain with him. Remember him. Remember all the rest of them that's been sick and otherwise afflicted, and pray for him as well. And I want to thank the Lord again for being good to us and saving them that are lost. I'm glad that it's a whosoever salvation. I'm glad that there wasn't no requirements that has to be met. I don't care who you think you are, you wouldn't have met him. And,
all you got to do is ask for it.
That's right. I'm glad it's by his mercy this morning, by his grace. I'm glad I'm saved by grace, amen. If it's anything else, I wouldn't be saved. If it was anything I had to do, I'd have lost. I couldn't have got it in the first place, and if I did, I'd have lost it already. Amen. But I'm glad that it's a salvation that can't be lost because it's kept by him.
Amen.
And it's one that he paid for, and he paid it with his own blood. It can't be done away with. It can't be taken away. And if ain't me or anybody else can do about it, I'm saved because he says so.
Amen. I got something saved from the other verse.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I put nobody here sings it, do they? Don't need it. Maybe need to try it again sometime. Yeah, his grace, mercy, and salvation is the three greatest gifts man has ever gotten in his life. You're saved.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Remember my niece Paige, she's just getting to where she can't hardly walk at all. She's in a lot of pain most days. Just remember her.
Remember Katie, about to be another member. She had to go back to church for too much longer. Mm-hmm. Pray for her as she gives birth. Pray for the baby, baby's health. Pray for Derek as he loses his nerves. Pray for Grandma and Grandpa, right? Pray for Grandpa. I'm sure she'll be shattering teeth too. But anyway, we welcome a new addition to the church.
Remember Miss Christina and Mary and the baby too.
Yeah, their baby, I forgot about that. Anybody else?
Remember the Browning family? I mentioned it last week or so. The dad, I went to school with him, we graduated together. His daughter's 29. She's got a brain tumor. They started radiation on her Wednesday, and she has to go every day for 33 days. So just remember her.
That radiation stuff, like it can be tough. Like that brain tumor, Mama had one too. And I tell you what, you'd think she's drunk the way she walked. I took her grocery store one day, she fell over another man and his wife. It affects your balance and stuff. One of them does, anyway. Anybody else? All right, that's all. Everybody can and will. Let's gather around the altar. Pray about service today. Pray for pastor. And we'll give him the preaching grace. I know if there's somebody here to stay, I pray we'll get to Slaughter, I pray we'll get stable to get out of church. I'm going to have Jesse Tower, if you will, lead some prayer.
Well, so for this one, Lord, I pray for all of you, Lord, for many blessings, Lord.
That's what we say.
Lord, I pray for you, Lord, for this one, for the Spirit of God, Lord. Lord, I pray for you, Lord, for the service, Lord, for the service, for the community, and the building, Lord, for the practice, Lord, for the service, 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 Lord,
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. We're gonna take up a special offering this morning, for Bobby and Vicky Cole. They don't go to this church, they go to Mount Calvary. But, it's some, folks I've known a long time, and their son was a friend of mine, died last year, motorcycle. Bobby, he's been a friend of mine. Don't wanna take up offering for them because they're friends of mine, just cause the Lord put on my heart to do so. They've run into some trouble, and, I know them, and I just happen to know about it, and the Lord put on my heart to do this for them this morning. And, you don't know them, but I tell you this, the need's urgent. I would, you know, usually give you a heads up, we can do it another Sunday, but they got, his truck transmission went out a while back, and he ain't able to, wasn't able to get a transmission. His granddaughter's car, they raised their granddaughter, and her car transmission went out on it, she's in high school. And, the transmission went out on it, and so he was gonna try to get the transmission fixed on her car before he did his truck. So they got some money, and they was gonna fix the transmission on the car. They found one, it was the wrong transmission, and had to take it back, and they didn't have the right transmission. And so he ended up having to go back and get the car from the place where he's gonna have it worked on, haul it back to his house to get it out of their way, because he's gonna have to, you know, find another transmission he can afford. Anyways, long story short, then this week, his wife's vehicle, the one that the granddaughter's been driving back and forth to school, the transmission's going out on it now. And so they've just had a bad run of luck with these transmissions here lately. They really just need some financial help. And, you know, they're on a very limited income, and it's just a bad situation. She's got cancer, and she's not going to make it much longer, his wife Vicky. And she's a good woman, she's a blessing. Preacher Billy passed her for a while on Calvary. And she's been faithful her whole life, thank you, preacher. And she's endured a lot throughout her life with her family and different things. And, you know, she's got this cancer now. And, you know, she just keeps saying that she just wants to hang on and see her granddaughter graduate high school this year. She just wants to live long enough to see that. And I don't know, if you know them, you'd see the need. And like I said, it's not because they're friends of mine. It's because the Lord put them on my heart. I'm not going to pick favorites or anything else like that, especially not when it comes to asking you to take an offering for somebody or to give your heart or money for somebody. But I promise you this, that it'll be a blessing to these people, and they'll glorify God for it. They'll be thanking God in their hearts for it. I've asked Preacher Billy if he'd go over and give it to them, just because they are friends of mine, and I want to know that it's truly something that the Lord's doing, not something that I've had in my mind, and it's not. And so Billy said he'd be glad to take it to them today or sometime this week and visit with them. Take that to them. So just give whatever the Lord's enabled to. Like I said, I know it's short notice, but the need is urgent. And so, you know, they got to get something on the road this week. They got to make something happen as soon as they can. So we're going to go ahead and take a offering for them. Go ahead, bro.
Page 120. We'll sing all three verses. 120.
I heard about his drumming on a special blood.
be in the Lord's house this morning. It's good to be with God's people. You ever go to, how many of you works a public job and has to go to the grocery store and get gas at the gas station? You know, you see, how many of you ever watches the television? See enough of the world's crowd, you hear enough of that. Man, it ought to make you look forward to getting in there on Sunday morning, getting around God's people. Amen. You think about it real hard, and a lot of us, people we work with and things, that we could name just a few of them that's really, truthfully, that we know to be God's people. I mean, the overwhelming majority of people out there in the world are just that, they're worldly. But I'm glad to come into God's house and feel the presence of God.
Amen.
And be around God's people, amen?
Amen.
It's refreshing. It's helpful. It's healing. You would think what would happen to each and every one of us if we didn't have this time to come together to worship? Somebody tells me that they don't need to come to the house of God. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Amen.
You know what happened to somebody that would, you know, these people that tell you, well, I can find God out on the lake. I can go up in the mountains and, you know, go camping and I can find God. That's fine, you can. But there's something special about getting in the house of God and God's people.
Sir.
Let me tell you what happened. You spend enough time around nothing but a bunch of worldly crowd, and I promise you, you will get more worldly.
Yep.
That's just a fact. They'll rip off on you. You spend more time in God's house, you spend more time around godly people, you become more godly. Mm-hmm. Is that a blessing?
Yes,
amen. I need this time.
Amen.
I'm already worldly enough. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I'm worldly minded enough. That's my nature.
Yep.
Getting awful quiet in here. Anybody else? I'm sorry that y'all all say pastors are sorry often. But praise God. I'm glad to get around all y'all. Amen. It's a good influence on me. Amen. Y'all be a good influence on one another. Be thankful to be able to come to the house of God.
Amen.
And to worship. Amen. I wonder if somebody's got a special song they want to sing for you. Get started this morning. Be praying much for the meeting coming up in April. It's April the 10th and the 13th. Be praying much for Preacher Curtis Presnell, who will be preaching it. And be praying that our hearts be prepared. And we'll be getting ready for that. I don't have yet, I know it's getting later than what I'd like to, but I don't have yet the question for the foundation study. I'm hung between a couple of things. I'm praying about it. But I'm sure that the Lord will lead us in the right direction. So y'all help me pray about that as well. And if anybody's got something they want to say, come on. Sorry. Yeah, bless you.
To
So my son is good water. You know, like, my sister says you can gauge how long I'm going to preach and how much water I have. She says she's noticed that in the time that she's heard Rich Stormy. Just so I'm telling my mom, so she knows this from talking about. But she told me that it's a thing that you wear racing motorcycles or riding, you know, motorcycle wheelers, you're going riding, it's called a camelback. It's a backpack that has a water bladder in it. It's got a hose that comes around and attaches to your helmet. You know, you can bite onto it and you can drink water as you're going. She said something about she's going to give me a camelback to wear, so I can hang on backpack for the water. I said, well, you wouldn't come hear me preach never again. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Some familiar scripture here. I'm going to read. Read all 17 verses here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. A little over a year ago, I preached on this, and I just preached here in these first five verses, and so we're just going to summarize that, and we're going to move on. But in any case, maybe some of you might not have been here at that time. Some of you might have been here, but you're like me, and that's a long time ago, and you don't remember it. I didn't remember it. If I would have had notes, I wouldn't even know if I ever preached it here. But in any case, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it, that you'd open our hearts and our minds, that we might receive your word, that you'd be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He says, "To know this, that in the last day perilous times shall come," or in other words, dangerous times. And you might say, dangerous for who? Dangerous for everyone that has a soul, is what he's talking about. He's not talking about simple danger for meaning persecution towards Christians. He's not talking about danger as in we have to worry about, you know, someone breaking in, murdering or killing. I mean, all those things are going to get worse as well, because along with the contempt that grows in the heart of man towards God and towards His Word, then along with that's going to come the increase in violence and the increase in man's disregard for other human life. Part of the whole push for abortion, part of Satan's design in getting mankind to promote and accept the murder of babies is to create a disregard for life in the heart of man. To create a disregard for human life in the heart of man. But what it's talking about here when it says perilous times, it's talking about the danger that is presented to the soul of man. Why is that? Because it talks about wicked doctrines that float around in the last days. And he's referring to this time period that after Jesus had already ascended back into heaven. He'd been resurrected, and he had ascended and left this earth and went back to heaven. And he's talking about the last days. And he's talking about also going all the way to the days when Jesus should step out on the clouds, and then the church should be raptured and taken up. And we all, the trumpet is going to sound. And we all, the Bible says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive will leave and meet them in the air. We'll be given a glorified body. The body of flesh, the body of sin will be done away with. We'll no longer have to struggle and to fight to be able to wrestle with this body of sin. This body that naturally is attracted to sin and sinful behavior. We'll no longer have to deal with that during that time. And what a blessing that'll be. But he says in the last days, perilous times shall come. They'll be dangerous times. Why? Because he says men shall be lovers of their own selves. And he lists all these things: covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection. He's talking about people being self-centered. I believe the last time I preached this, I mentioned how that it's only been this most recent generation that the term selfie was even a word. We talk about when you take a picture of yourself. And it's because we live in a generation where people are self-centered. They're lovers of their own selves. What is Facebook and Instagram and all the social media about? It's about being centered around yourself. The doctrine of man and the doctrine of Satan teaches people that you are to be centered around yourself. You are to take care of yourself. You've got to love yourself. Hey, in reality, I promise you, you ain't never had a problem loving yourself. You ain't never had a problem loving yourself. You might not be satisfied with yourself. And that's what the world's really trying to get at, is you need to be content with just who you are. But God says you don't need to be content with the body of sin and the body of flesh. Yeah. You need to strive toward the mark that He set. Hey, we was talking about that in the Sunday school room this morning. Hey, we will never reach that mark, are we, in this old fleshly sin-cursed body. That's why we are long for the day that Jesus comes back and frees us from the body of sin, from the body of flesh, that He gives us a body that's glorified, that don't struggle with sin, don't struggle with flesh. What a day that'll be, amen.
Amen.
That we don't have to struggle like we do now, amen. But while we're in this body, we ought to strive towards that mark, amen. What does that mean? That means looking in that mirror and not forgetting where we come from. Not forgetting who we were when God saved us, and remembering who we still are, whereas God is continuing to save us, not that we can be more saved in the sense of going to heaven, but that we can be sanctified in the sense that our testimony is going to shine bright.
Amen.
Because God He's saved us from the punishment of sin when He died on Calvary, and we accepted Him as our Savior, right? He saved us from hell, the punishment and the penalty of sin. As we live, He sanctifies us, and He grows us, He is saving us from the persuasion of sin. Ultimately, when we're given that glorified body, we're brought into His kingdom, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. That's not my word. I stole that from a wise preacher. I forget his name, but anyways, he's one of the real good ones, you know. But I like it. And I stole that and I used it. Because it helps me to understand, and it helps you all to understand. But he says that these last days men will be self-centered lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud.
them and what's going on in their own mind. Jesus said this. He said, this is how men will recognize you as my children, if you love one another. He said, this is all the law can be summed up into this. He says, love thy neighbor even as thyself. You ain't got a problem loving yourself. Somebody's depressed. Somebody's thinking about suicide. Somebody's going down in the gutter. That's where Satan wants you at. That's where Satan likes to keep people at. And then he likes to give you some of his own doctrine so he can help you stay there. And he says you need to love yourself. Hey, I'm telling you, you ain't got a problem loving yourself. As long as you're the center of your universe, hey, you might get a little pick-me-up every now and then, but you're going to get drugged right back down into that gutter. I will tell you right now, the only way out of that is to make God the center of your universe. Amen. Right where he wants to be, right where he needs to be. Oh, he'll lift you up out of that. He'll give you a purpose. He'll give you a plan. He'll give you the motivation that you need to go through life where you ain't got to walk around kicking yourself. You ain't got to walk around being ashamed. Hey, I might be a sinner. Yeah, I am. I promise you that. I ain't perfect by no means. Hey, I see it every day, whether it's by action or by speech or in my mind, every day. I can tell you that I have to repent and the day goes by. I don't have to say, God, forgive me. Right. If you've got a day or two in mind that you said you ain't seen none, you must have slept all day. Yeah. And you're probably dreaming something with you at that. Because that's the way it is. Yeah. But every day goes by, I have to say, Lord, forgive me. But I'll tell you what, he's faithful to forgive me. I'm talking about a good and holy God. I'm talking about one that loves us, that died for us, that gave his own blood for us, that we could be forgiven. And whenever he tells us that he wants to be the center of our universe, that's the only way that we can overcome depression. That's the only way we can overcome that feeling of not having any good meaning in life. Every person out there has a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart. And they look for everything to feel it. Ain't nothing going to feel it other than Jesus. You think, man, if I just, you young people think, man, if I just had a wife or a husband, that ain't going to feel the hole. You might think, well, if I just had a better house, if I just had a new car, if I just had a better job that is easier on the back, that ain't going to feel the hole. You know what you need? You need more Jesus. Hey, let me tell you what the Bible says. This Bible says this, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. It doesn't say winning the lottery is great gain. Think about what you do if you win the lottery. What's the lottery up to now? Anybody pay attention to it? I don't pay attention to it. I've seen it before. What's it been up to? $100 million, $200 million or something, you know? You think, well, what would I do with all that? And I remember I've done the math on this one time. I remember one time they was offering a thing at the bank. Now, I forget what kind of account it was you could start, but they said that they'd pay you something like 2% interest. It's a good interest rate on just having money to sit in the bank. It's like 2 or 2.5% is what it earned. And I said, man, if somebody, you know, if they won that money, and they got that $500 million or whatever it is, and say they only got $250 million of it, and, you know, 1% of that $250 million would be $2.5 million, right? 1% of 250 million is 2.5 million. All right, so they get half the money because they have to pay taxes on it. They get 500. I'm going somewhere with this. Just follow along with me. All right. So they win 500. They pay half of the taxes. That's what they tell me. I've never won a lot, but I've heard of it. I don't buy lottery tickets, but if I found one on the ground as a winner, I'd cash in. I'll tell you that. Amen. But in any case, they. My dad done that one time, by the way. He don't buy lottery tickets, and he found one at $1,000. He won $1,000 off when he found on the ground with a scratch off. It ain't no joke. But anyways, they won $500, they're going to get half of it. They get 250. 1% of that's 2.5. So 2.5% would be, that'd be 5, and then, I'm not going to let somebody help me out here. Let's say it'd be half of it, 1.25. So that'd be 6.75. So that'd be 6.75 million is what that money would gain every year. So you just put it in the bank and have $6 million that you get great gain in interest every year. Right? You think, man, I can have babies, I can do this, and I can, I'd never have to work for them. I could fund all my hunting trips, all my fishing trips. I wouldn't even have to move stuff out of my boat whenever I want to do a crappie fishing or if I want to do a bass fishing, preacher. I'd have a bass fishing boat. I'd have a crappie fishing boat. I'd have a cat fishing boat. I'd have a boat for everybody. Right? You think about that. You know what? When I was younger, I wanted a whole lot less because I had a whole lot less. How many of you young people don't want to do it? You wouldn't even dream of having three or four boats. You'd be thinking best to have one boat, some of you young men would. I got a boat. It's a pretty nice old boat. I like my boat. And I still think about, well, if I had this boat. You know what? If I had that boat, you know what I'd want? I'd want something else. We just talk about this in Sunday school too. I remember a time when I'd love to have a truck. I got it. 20-some-year-old truck. That truck was made in 2001, I think. I guess that thing's 23 years old. There's a time when I thought, man, if I had a truck like that. And now I got it, and I think that thing's old. Man, if I had one of them new trucks. You know what happened if I had one of them new trucks? I'd want something else. You see where I'm going with this? And you got something that you wanted at one point in time. You wanted it real bad. And then you got it. But you know what happened? You wanted something else. It ain't gain then, is it? It ain't much gain for you to have all that. If you got that million, if you got that $250 million in the bank, and you made that $6 million a year, you can do what you wanted with it. I'm telling you, it ain't a whole lot of gain. You ain't going to get a whole lot out of it. Because it ain't going to feel that what God has put into a heart that is that Jesus-shaped hole. Amen. That's why the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And you can have contentment, and it might not be as much gain if it's just contentment. Right? You say, well, how is that, preacher? If I'm content, I'm content. Well, it depends on what you're content with. Are you content because you're living like hell? And you're going out and you're sleeping with everybody you want to, and you're doing whatever kind of dirty deals you can to make money that you want to? Are you content because you're able to drink or do your drugs or whatever vices you have to get high with? Is that, but there's people that's content with that, and they're happy. They don't have nothing in the world, but they're content because they don't have any law. They don't have any rule. They don't have any morality to live by. That's not great gain, is it? Look at the end of that person. Look at where that life gets them up. It makes them end up that. Look where it takes them. The devil always take you further than you want to go and then keep you longer than you want to stay. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. To love the Lord and to want to strive toward that mark, that's gain. That's what helps us. But the Bible says this, that We're heading into dangerous times. Why is that? It's because the truth is spoken evil of. It's because, whereas men are so self-centered, and it says that these in verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. That means don't fellowship with them. Now, mind you, pay attention to this. The Bible tells us to go to the highways and the hedges, right? The Bible tells us that any and all that'll hear you, Jesus said, wherever you go into a house, they'll hear you. Stay with them a while. He didn't give them any kind of credentials to look for. He didn't say, don't go to them if they're drunkards. He didn't say, don't go to them if they're beggars. Whatever the case may be, he said, it don't matter how dirty they are, what they look like. Matter of fact, Jesus got accused many times of being there's something wrong with him. Why? Because he stayed with publicans, tax collectors, he stayed with drunkards and everything else, but he said this. He said, well, hey, he said, they that are whole or they that are in good health, they have no need of a physician. If you got good health, you're in no need of a doctor. He said, but they that are sick, that's who needs to see the doctor. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The preacher said this one time, said, only bad people go to heaven. Good people go to hell, and only bad people go to heaven. What do you mean by that? Well, if you think you're good, you can't be saved. The Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. There is none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. Because we fell short of His glory. So to admit and to acknowledge before an Almighty God that we need Him and that we depend on His mercy, His grace, and what Jesus done on the cross and paid for our sins, that is how we're saved. Because we know that we're wrong, we know that He done it all. The Bible says we're living in dangerous times, dangerous for the soul, because men are self-centered. Men's lives evolve around themselves. It says they're proud, they're boasters, full of conceit, focus on themselves all the time. Bible, we see that in the world that we're in. Look at the social media. Look at how people are. Let me tell you young people something. Let me tell y'all this. Those people you see on social media, if you're watching people on YouTube and on Twitter and what's that other one that everybody watches?
TikTok.
The kids you see on TikTok, Facebook, and all that, they're more miserable than you are. If you just know them, I promise you they're more miserable. I have been around people that live their life on Facebook, most miserable people you ever been around in your life. I promise you, you see somebody that's on Facebook and they're all the time putting on every vacation they go, every meal they eat, this, that, and other. Most of the time they're very sad people because they're wanting attention. They are desiring and wanting attention, and they want to pretend and they want to create this story that their life is going better than it really is. I've been around people, and I've been on vacation with people that was living their life on Facebook. They was more concerned with making their kids and people pose for pictures to be able to put it on Facebook or put it on some kind of social media than they were actually getting out and having fun. They wanted to look like they were having fun, or they wanted to have fun. I said, forget that mess. You can ask my wife, we go on vacation, we do something. I said, don't you even put a picture on Facebook. Nothing else. I said, this is our time. This ain't everybody else's time. It's time for me and my family. You know? That's the way we ought to treat it. Why is that? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Now listen, God is keeping an eye on you and your whole life. You don't need the rest of the world to see what you're doing. Them likes and shares and followers and all that don't mean nothing. I don't mean a blooming thing. You got the one, the creator of the entire world. And guess what? He likes you. Well, now He loves you. Guess what? He follows you.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? He shares with you. Amen. And if you'll be alive, He'll share you with everybody else too. Amen.
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 Yeah, right.
The Bible says here that these people have a form of godliness, but not power. What power does not deny the transforming power of God? He's talking about false teachers now. He's talking about those that deny the truth, they twist the truth. You go into some of these churches now, it's like Jesse said, went into a church that had a cardboard cutout of a band in the foyer when you walked in. Had a cardboard cutout of the church band. They worship and serve the creation more than the creator. He says we're in dangerous times that we're living in. Because people subvert the truth. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Do not think for one second that it is okay and it is idly fine for these churches to be so worldly and these churches to be involved in such worldly adventures and things that they're going to. Well, they say, well, they preach this and they preach that. They might know it. The Bible says they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's no transformation. They look and act and talk just like everybody else out there in the world does, and there is absolutely no difference that you can see other than the fact that they are going to some kind of church on a Sunday. That's the only difference between them and many of them. They're going out and they're at the bar Friday night, Saturday night, and they're living it up and they're drinking, and they come to church and they're probably deacons and they're probably singing in the fire and playing the piano or playing in the band or whatever the case may be, and you see them, things go on. Why is that? It's because that Satan likes to subvert and pervert the truth. The truth is what? God's word. What I'm getting at here this morning, I'm going to make this point and we're going to move on. Let me skip down to verse 16 real quick and just read this real fast. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the breathed word of God. This book should have absolute authority in your life.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how much authority should the preacher have? None. How much authority should the church have? None. The Catholics will tell you otherwise, but they're foolish as well. may subvert the truth, but the Word of God should have all authority. Now, if the preacher's preaching the Word of God, it shouldn't be the preacher that has the authority, but the Word of God has the authority.
Amen.
And it should be adhered to, not because the preacher says it, but because it is the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
The Word of God is infallible, meaning it's without mistake.
Amen.
The Word of God is the foundation upon which we must stand and build every aspect of our life. We can let nothing come between us and the Word of God. You say, preacher, has it. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Right.
As a woman, I've got arguments over things before. You might would agree, tend to agree. They'll say, well, what about this? I'm just throwing some things out there. The Word of God says murder is murder. Okay. You have people who say, well, I think it's okay for a woman to get an abortion if there was rape or incest. That doesn't negate the Word of God. That is still alive. Just because there was an awful, horrendous, sinful action that took place does not negate the fact that that child was a creation of God and has a right to live. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. Nowadays, in society, they'll tell you that there's a lot of children that have autism or Asperger's or on the spectrum for autism. And, you know, you see a lot of these kids, and I've seen a lot of them. You know, I've known people that have, I've got close friends that have kids like that. You might, some of y'all might think I'm crazy for this, but I don't care. I say let the Word of God be true. You'll see them pitch fits, and they'll get down the floor. Now, I know that I understand that they're different. They got something going on there. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction drives it out. We're coming up in a generation, and we're coming up in a time where there's a lot of more autism coming up in children than what used to be. If you notice that, by percentage, it goes up, and you see that. And we're being told, these parents are being told, you can't spank them, that doesn't help, you can't do that. That's not effective. But the Bible says the rod of correction drives it out.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, that's awful. Well, I'm not going to argue with anybody about it, but I'm going to say this. The Word of God stands true. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I don't care what makes sense to you. I don't care what pulls at your heart and what pulls at your feelings and what the rest of society is doing. The Word of God is the truth. And we stand on the Word of God as Christians, as children of God. When you start letting Satan get his foot in just an inch, he'll take a mile. Hey, I promise you, he'll take you further than you want to go, and he'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Well, preacher, I'm not getting into all that. I'm not running off and living a life of adultery, and I'm not getting out here living it up at the bars and getting drunk, and I'm not out here on the streets taking drugs and shooting up and smoking this, that, and other. Hey, you ain't got to be doing all that to be completely cold on God. You ain't got to do none of that to be absolutely useless to the kingdom of God. All you have to do is to subvert the truth of God's Word. Satan, the very first attack he uses in the Word of God is to go to Eve, and he said, hath God truly said? He said, is that really what the Lord said? He wanted to create that. That's what he wants to do. He wants to create that. The Bible says we're living in dangerous times. Perilous times will come. Because men will be lovers of their own selves. Men value their own opinions higher than that of God's. They value their own logic higher than that of God's. Men think they're smarter than God. People think that they got it figured out more than God does. Hey, I want to tell you, the Bible says this. We're running out of time. Y'all probably like me. We're Baptists and we're hungry. Amen? Hey, something wrong with every denomination. That's what we're wrong with Baptists. We're fat and hungry. But in any case, we're not all of us, but we're all hungry. We ain't all fat, but we're all hungry. But in any case, we'll just go to verse 16 and we'll be done. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the words by which we assemble and structure and live our lives. Our lives should be structured according to good doctrine, which comes from the Word of God. Good doctrine is this, is that salvation is by Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. Amen? That's good doctrine. Good doctrine is this. There is a hell, that every soul that's born to man is headed that way because of sin, because every person that is born in the natural body is a sinner and has separated themselves from the love of God. And the only way to be redeemed is to put faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done on Calvary. The gospel, good news. That's a good doctrine. Good doctrine is this, is that God created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested, not because he had to, but he was set forth a good pattern for you and I. Good doctrine is this, is that from the beginning, salvation come by grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. That the world by him and through him was spoken into existence. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The same was with God. Good doctrine is this, is that Jesus is coming back one day to call the church home. And that he'll come here and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. He'll wage war against the false prophet and against the dragon and against the Antichrist. And he'll win, amen. And he'll lock them away for that 1,000 years. And he's going to rule and reign here. At the end of that, he's going to release them for a short time. Then he's going to take them, he's going to go to war with them, and he's going to take them and he's going to bring them before a white throne of judgment. Then all those that have ever been born, never lived, that hated God, which was me, which was you, everyone that's not been saved by the blood of Jesus, are going to appear at that great white throne. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. There'll be books open, there'll be books read, they'll be explained perfectly. Everyone there will understand exactly punishment that holds this hell for them. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It's good doctrine. Good doctrine is this, is that God exists, and he is singular, he is one, but he is also a triune God, meaning that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Son is no less than God the Father. God the Father is no less than God the Son, and this one's important. Remember this. God the Holy Ghost is no less than I am. The one that lives inside of me and inside of you, if you're saved by God's grace, is no less than God the Father. It's not God Jr. It's God. It's not mini God. It's not a little bit of God. It's God. Amen. Amen. And there's all kinds of good doctrine in the Bible. Good doctrine is this, that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. That he is God in the flesh. That he came to the world for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil by paying man's sin debt on the cross of Calvary. He paid it with his own blood. That's good doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Reproof, correction. Means that my life, let me put to you simple. And some of y'all look like you can go to sleep on it. Either that tired or you're that hungry, I don't know. Have to get a coffee machine. Well, I would be standing up before the judge. That would work out easy to pay my home. For proof of correction, simply means this. We are to conform our lives to the Word of God, rather than try to conform the Word of God to fit our lives. Yeah, that is the mistake that these men made. I didn't get into Janus and Jambres. That's the magicians that contended with Moses. That was Pharaoh's magician that contended with Moses. Read and study about that later. It's their names are not given in the Old Testament, but their names are given to us here, so we understand and know what their names were. But the Bible says that it's for reproof. It's for correction. That means that your life right now, that your life today is not in line with the Word of God. Neither is mine. Guess what? It's not going to be tomorrow either. But are you striving towards that moment? Are you content with godliness? Are you content living the way that you are? Are you content with the light that you're releasing to others? Are you content and satisfied with how that your testimony is affecting the world around you? It says it's the Word of God that's good for reproof, for correction. Where God's good for instruction in righteousness. How do we know what's wrong and right? Because we get it from word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, I love that these people come and tell me, you'll hear this all the time. Well, the Lord's told me, you know, the Lord's told me this, the Lord's told me that. You don't even read your Bible. The Lord ain't told you nothing. 999 times out of 1,000. Why? Because you want to know how you talk to God? In prayer, right? That's what we talk about. You know how God talks to us? His word.
Amen.
You want answers from God. But you ain't reading this, you ain't getting answers. You're probably more than likely getting some of your own foolish logic that you say is answered from God. I'm just telling you. You want answers, you praying for God to show you something. Read the Word, amen. That's where you'll find it. It's in the Word of God. Amen. Don't wait on the preacher to say something. Read the Word of God, amen. It's good and profitable. That means that it's going to give you something. You're going to gain something from it, amen. To read the Word of God. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. You know how to live for God? You want to live for God? You want to be closer to God? You want to be helped by God? Read the Word of God, amen. I'm not talking about a commentary. That's all right, too. I'm not talking about a book, about another book in the Bible or somebody else. I'm talking about the Word of God itself. Amen.
Amen.
Read it. Then when you get to something you don't understand, then go to them other resources. Let God help you. Let somebody else give you some insight, try to help you to understand it and interpret it properly. Read the Word of God. The Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all the works. It's not just talking about a pastor. It's not talking about a preacher. It's talking about the child of God. Anybody who stands for and is willing to proclaim the Word of God, that they may be perfect, that means complete. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. You ain't going to be perfect. That word is translated from a Greek word that means complete. That means that you are outfitted fully, to the fullest extent. That means that don't go into battle not having your sword, or not having your shield, or not having your armor, or so on and so forth. You don't go to school without a pencil on a notepad. But she was like me, I never carry anything to school. I keep there and borrow something from somebody every day. If I had to have it. But whenever you go into something, you gotta be furnished. You gotta be ready. It says, man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished by all good works. And what does that buy? By the Word of God. Let's bow our heads this morning for prayer. How important is the Word of God in your life? What place does the Word of God take in your life? What kind of things are you being fed by? What kind of information is your mind processing day to day, week to week? How much of that is the Word of God? You scroll on Facebook, on Instagram, on social media. You watch your television, you go down the road, you listen to your radio. How much time do you spend in the Word of God, the source of life and truth? You want help from God? You want to hear from God? You need to be in His Word. Your life today, if you was to look in your mirror, and take a long look and look deep into your heart and your mind and your soul and reflect on the actions you've taken, the things that you've said, many things that your heart has devised and your mind has thought of this week alone, you would find how swiftly you fall away from God's plan and design. How wicked we can be. Is there room in your life today for repentance? I know the answer to that is yes. But are you ready and willing to draw closer to it? As I pray, if the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, you need to come to this altar. Come to ask God to help you, to forgive you. Grow you, to draw you closer to Himself, to give you discernment in His Word than every other place in life. He is a friend like no other. You don't have a husband, you ain't got a wife, you ain't got a mama or a daddy, You ain't got a child, a brother, sister, or best friend that's even close to what Jesus is and will always be to you. He's a Savior. He's all that and more. Thank you, Father, for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for your word and how it convicts my heart, Lord, and shows me where I feel you. Lord, I pray, God, that you give me, Lord, discernment in your word. Lord, I pray, God, that it would have and hold a higher place in my own life, God, that the persuasions and, Lord, that the logic of man would not have root and would not be able to create any kind of foundation upon which that I would found any thought or originate any idea from, but God, that it would come from your word and your word alone. I pray that you would be exalted in my life. Lord, I pray that you forgive me where I fail you. Help me, Lord, to read your word even more. Study, Lord, all the more, Lord, how that I fail you so often. And Lord, I desire to hear from you. And yet, Lord, I lack in my searching of your word so that I may. I pray, God, that you would be with each and every one of us that are here this morning. Draw us closer to you and help us as a church to love you, to live for you, to exalt you with our lives. Lord, be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.